Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Breaking in at the first verse this morning. We've been singing about heaven this morning, talking about heaven. I love to talk and preach about heaven. Amen. I want to take a few moments of time and let's look through the eyes of Brother John for just a few moments and see what, through the Holy Spirit that the Lord revealed to him to write down in this blessed old book and give us a glimpse. I hope this morning, if you need help, you've come to the right place. I can't help you, but I serve one that can help you this morning, and we'll lift you up. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning here in Revelation chapter 21. The Bible says in the first verse, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city," that holy city, New Jerusalem, "coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I'm talking about a city that's prepared. He ain't bringing it to remodel it here, amen. He's a prepared city. Can I hear from you this morning? "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." This ought to make you excited this morning. "And God shall wipe away all of tears from their eyes." You might as well say your eyes if you're born again. He's going to wipe away all the tears from your eyes. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pains." Can I get a hallelujah on that? "For the former things are passed away." They'll be gone. They won't be like this no more. It'll be passed away, never to be ever, ever again. Won't that be wonderful? Brother Randy Fansler, would you ask the blessing on the message, please? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Feed us, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The book of Revelations is Jesus Christ in the form of a book. There's nothing fictional, imaginary, or made up to entertain the reader or a mystical plot to the book of Revelations. It's for the believers this morning. The book of Revelation explains the past, the present, and the future clearly to the church. Amen. We're reading the last book of the Bible. This is covering it all, amen. It's telling us the past, the present, and the future. It is not to be misinterpreted, rewrote, changed in any way to fit the culture or personal convictions or beliefs of anybody. God's Word is perfect from cover to cover and needs not to be improved in any way. If you find a fault in this word, you're the fault, not this word. Amen. There's nothing wrong with this book. It's perfect from cover to cover. If we change anything in this book, we're guilty of Revelations chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, and God will judge it accordingly. Amen. If you haven't wrote that down, marked that down, you need to mark down Revelations chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, and you need to go home and read it. Before you take on mommy and daddy and grandpa and grandma's theological thoughts and convictions, you need to find out what thus saith the word of God. You need to find out if what you believe is what the Bible backs. Amen. I'm glad I don't have a mommy salvation or a daddy salvation, but I'm glad my salvation is in Him. Amen. I'm glad it's hid in the Word of God. I know that I'm secure in Him. I'm glad His blood is upon my soul, and the devil can't do nothing with it. Amen. Can he discourage you? Can he try to defeat you in several ways? He sure can, my friend. And he's good at his job. I ain't giving you no credit. But I've said it a many times, if we was half the Christian as he is a devil, man, what a Christian we would be. The devil's always at work. He's always trying to do something. He's always setting a trap. He's always setting a plot. He's always trying to figure out how to get the upper hand to God's people. It really don't have nothing to do about you. He's trying to get back at God for throwing him out of the kingdom. But I'm telling you what, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're going to one heaven where there'll be a God that reigns over all. When we get there, we'll give him most perfect praise. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. Amen. They may reject him. They may throw him out. They may take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. They may make all kinds of rules that me and you have to try to go by. We don't had to be happy about it, but I'll tell you one thing. Here's coming today. He's going to call us from this earth, and we'll be set free forevermore. We'll never have to go through such a time as a time we're going through right now. I tell you what, our government can make all kinds of laws, and they can pass all kinds of legislations and try to make the people go by it, but I'll tell you where my law is. It's in the Word of God. I'm going to follow this book, and I'm going to stand on this book, and if the laws of this land line up with this book, I'll follow every one of them. But when the laws of this land go against this book, I won't be standing for that law. Amen. I'm telling you what, we live in a time where people's going to have to get a little bit of a backbone about you. You're going to have to stand up and proclaim to be a child of God. If you'll just let anything go in your life, you'll fall for anything in this life. I'm glad that God's people have to make a stand. And it's a hard time, and it's a tough time. People will come into your property right now, and they'll steal things right out of your house, right out of your property. They'll steal the vehicle from the driveway. They'll knock your door in to come and get your possessions. They'll come in and beat your family up and kill your children and try to kill you and do everything they can to you. But I'm going to tell you what, we're headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. There will be no thieves that'll break through and steal on the streets of glory. I'm glad when I walk down that golden street, I'll not see one person trying to pry some of it up. I'm glad I'll never see nobody trying to cash any of it in, because I'll tell you what, I'm glad I've got heaven's reward one day. I ain't got to worry about the devil and what he's trying to do, amen, because my hope is in him, amen. Praise his holy name. A good preacher friend of mine lives in Paintsville, Kentucky. Brother Mikey Gerald, he sung with Mark. Mark sung with him in their group for many, many years, Salvation Reign. I hope one day we can have him here at the church and you can hear him sing and you can hear this man preach. He's a wonderful man of God. But I was inspired by a song that he wrote many years ago. And as I began to study and ask God for the message this week, he pricked me with a thought that he gave me over 4 or 5 years ago. And he began to build a message in me this week, and I hope I can bring it to you this morning. But he wrote a song that I'm going to use the title this morning. I'm glad I can preach to you and tell you about things that won't get in. Amen. I want to preach about things that won't get in. What are you talking about won't get in? I'm talking about into heaven. You know there's things ain't going to heaven. I want to cover some of them this morning. I don't know what's going on down at my house right now. They may be somebody in there stealing things from me. They may be somebody down there burning my house down. They may be doing all kinds of things. Let me tell you what, me and my wife have been carpenters by trade for years, and we've worked hard to gain the equipment that we have and the talent that we've got to work on people's houses and remodel and do things. And it takes a lot of money to buy this equipment to work with. And you know, when I do a job, I like to have the right tools to do the job, amen.
If I'm going to preach a gospel, I want to study the Word of God. I want to be ready. I want to know what God wants for the people. I want to be ready. You got to have the right tools. So when we need something, we go out and buy a tool. My wife's a good painter. She paints a lot. And so I'd go out and buy high-dollar paintbrushes. You ever bought a paintbrush? They're almost $20 a piece if you buy the right one. She likes those kind that's cut real good and real soft where she can use it. So I pay good money for these tools to buy these paintbrushes. So we would buy one and put it in a tote and buy another and put it in a tote. Next thing I know, I had a tote full of paintbrushes. Had the tools that I needed. If somebody called and needed a painting job done, we had the right tools to go and do that job. But you know, one day we was in a hurry and we came home. And I got that tote out of my truck and I set it under the carport. On my property, where we live, where we're supposed to be safe, where these things belong to me, where nobody else is supposed to be and come and get the stuff from me. But we set it out on the carport, and I head down to the store wherever we went. And when I came back, that tote was gone. That tote was gone. I'm talking about a tote that probably had $500 or $600 worth of brushes in it. And so when we went to do our job, we was like, Where's our paintbrushes at? Somebody had come and pulled all the way up my driveway under my carport to steal a tote of brushes. But can I tell you this morning, one day after a while, I'm going to pull way up in glory. And everything that I've laid up, Brother Aaron, is still right where it's at. Amen. Every place that God has put it, it's still right there. And I'll pull up there and it'll be right there when I get there, amen? And I won't have to worry about thieves breaking through and stealing. And it breaks your heart when this kind of thing happens. You feel violated. But I'm come to tell you this morning, you may feel violated here today. The devil may be stealing things from you and you feel like that you're robbed in your life. But we're headed to a city, amen, where things are not going to be taken from you. And there's going to be a place where this is never going to happen again. This place that's called heaven. In verses 7 and 8, when we read them here, you will see a contrast between overcomers and believers. Overcomers and unbelievers, rather. You're going to see that contrast in verses 7 and 8 of this chapter. But number one, what's not going to get in? The first thing that's not going to get into heaven is sin. Well, somebody ought to shout and run all over this building, amen. It's sin. It's not going to get in. Revelation 21, verse 27, the Bible says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's." I'm talking about believers now. Amen. Those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the ones that are going to enter in. No abomination is going to enter in. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm glad when I get to heaven and I sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm glad I ain't got to look down the table and see two men holding hands or see two men kissing each other or two women kissing each other. I'm glad when I get to heaven, that abomination won't be there, amen. It won't be there. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not natural for a man to kiss a man and a woman to kiss a woman. Can I get an amen this morning? If you don't teach your children, the devil will. And just because the government passes a law and says it's okay for them to do that, I'm going to tell you by the authority of God's word, it's against natural law of God this morning. God never ordained a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. He set it up for man and woman to be married and to be a family and to raise a family and raise children and continue that generation. That's what God set up. God help us as a nation that we would agree or go along with such a mess as we're living in. There's nothing right about it. I can't hardly stomach the acts of homosexual and lesbianism. But I'm going to tell you what, we love those people. We're going to preach them the Word of God. ever lesbian, ever homosexual that you know, you invite them to come here. They're welcome here. But I'll tell you what they ain't going to do. They're not going to sit in them seats and hold hands and kiss and hug in this house of God, because I'll ask them to leave. I've got just that much boldness in me. You mean you'd ask somebody like, you better believe I'd ask them to leave in a heartbeat. This is a holy place. But this is also a place where all sinners are welcome. The vilest of sinners are welcome to walk through this door and sit in these seats, amen. I don't care what they've done, where they've been, how they have acted, or what they're guilty of, they're welcome in this house. But we can't go along with the sin. I'm glad no sin will enter into this place. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, he said specifically, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This curse of sin will be finally off. Amen. Can you just imagine when Satan looks and sees all of God's people going, he's going to say, man, it's it. It's over with. What am I going to do now? But he's going to have a time. He's going to have a time. God's been pricking my heart with this book, and I'm going to bring this book, and I want to try to help you understand this book. You should never be scared of Revelations. I'm going to tell you what you need to do with Revelations. You need to read it for what it says. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to take away. Don't try to read into something that it's not. You read it for exactly for what it says, and God will speak to you and show you what it is. But we're glad this morning that no sin will enter in to that place. Revelation 21 verse 5, and he said, he set up thrones and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, these words are true and faithful. I'm preaching you the true word of God. I'm preaching you thus saith the Lord this morning. It's not what thus saith Gary, it's what thus saith the word of God. I appreciate the man of God last night. He covered a lot of subjects. He talked about sin in every form, and he dealt with it, and he showed these young people and talked about what they're dealing with. About 3 years ago, I had to deal with a teenager that came to our church, and she was talking about about the curse of sin that was upon her, and she was a cutter. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with anybody that are cutters, but these young people, they'll get so depressed, and they'll withdraw in themselves that and the devil will tell them the only way they can get relief is to cut themselves. And this young lady was cutting herself on the insides of her legs here and the inside of her arms here to get relief. You'd say that's crazy. This is real life, church. This is what goes on in young people's lives that you're not getting involved in. When you turn your child loose with this thing right here and say, here you go, take it, use it, do anything you want to do it, the devil will teach them everything that he wants them to know. And these schoolhouses that they're in right now, I thank God for the teachers that we've got here in this auditorium today that love God and try to help our kids. But I'm telling you what, they're teaching them every kind of rejection of God that they can teach them. And they're being bullied on every hand. They're being put down for their stand for Christ. Nobody's standing together. You young people that are saved, you need to stand with your friends that are saved. You need to show them friendship. You may not like what they do. They might not seem like your big buddy, but if you're born again, you ought to love them. You ought to show them the love of Christ. Can I get an amen from you? Because they go through a lot. I'm going to tell you what the preacher said last night. I guarantee you that over half of our young people in this church right now have already dealt with depression in this house. Depression. Why? Because they're being put down on every hand. Sin has blanketed their life. And if we don't preach them the truth and tell them how to come out from among this and be separate and put our arms around them and love them and tell them what kind of devil they are in this box right here, and show them how to use it, you are opening them up to the devil and saying, there you go. You're feeding your child to the devil is what you're doing. You want to know how I did this? When I gave my daughter a phone, I watched everything she watched. I governed everything she did. She'd go to her room, and when she was in there about an hour or two, I may walk right in. I said, give me your phone. She'd hand me her phone. I'd pull it up. I'd start looking. See, Daddy was smart enough to know how to look at what she'd been looking at. And I'd watch. And then she'd get on these websites and get these friends in. And I'd look at her friends and who she was talking to. Come on, church. And I kept up with what she's doing. And she didn't do something I liked, I took the phone away. You know why? I'm paying the bill. I have a right. That's my phone. No, it ain't. It's my phone. I'm the one paying for it. When you start paying for it, then it'll be your phone. But until then, it's my phone. And I'll look at it anytime I want to. I'd walk up to her right now, 17 years old, and say, let me see your phone. Why? Because I'm paying the bill. I have a right. Hey, parents, you got a right to go in your child's room. Can I go where God's leading me this morning? Would that be all right? If your child is locking the door, you better rear back and kick the hinges off of it. I would. I'd say when you start paying the house payment, you lock the door. But until then, it's in my room. Getting hot in here, ain't it? Turn the heat up, Verby. I don't care. Make it hot. I'm telling you, young people, something. You got a church here that loves you. And we're interested in your life. You got youth leaders that love you. You got deacons that love you. You got lay members that love you. And when you feel like you ain't got nobody, I want you to look around. You got a church full of people that love you here today. I'm talking about a place where we're heading, young people, where sin ain't going to get in. Amen. The next time you feel depressed, the next time the devil tells you to do something to harm yourself or something like that, I'm glad there's no kids here that I know of doing such a thing as that. But if a sorry, rotten devil ever puts it on your mind, look somebody up in this church and say, I need some help. I want to help you this morning. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. Amen. And I believe the people of this church is here to help you. In the last year, we have seen case after case, 9-year-old, 10-year-olds, 12-year-old, 15-year-old kids committing suicide. Why? Because of that word that's on that screen right there. S-I-N. They're bullied now more. You that have been out of school for 30, 40 years, you could not imagine what it's like in a schoolhouse right now. It's worse than any prison that you could ever go to. They're just not locked up. They get free rein to do whatever they want to do. They'll fight against the teachers. They fight against authority. They won't do anything. They're fighting against each other. When I was in school and me and another boy would have a word or two, we just go outside and knock it out. And there's the end of it. They don't do that now, church. They go outside and try to kill each other. Pull guns out, pull knives out, kill each other. There ain't no fighting. And I'm not for fighting, and you young people should never fight. You should always look for the way out. Never fight. There's always a better way than a fist fight. A soft, tender word, the Bible says, turneth away wrath. If you can take control of your temper for just a moment, God can get the glory out of it. And you parents that got all these children, you need to hear me today. I love my daughter. I have raised her in church. I have taught her the Word of God. I put everything I can put into her. But she has to make her own decision. When she goes to school tomorrow, Daddy won't be there to hold her hand and say, honey, don't do that. Honey, don't say that. Honey, don't run with that one. Don't go with that one. I've got to entrust her that I've given her the Word of God. And she's going to do the right thing. But you know what? The best children, I'm talking the best children, are going to fall. The best children. If you don't have children in here today, we got a church full of them. You ought to find one. Tell them that you love them, that you care for them. You're here for them. Y'all got any clue how hard it is to be the pastor's daughter? And I ain't as strict on her as most preachers are. But we've sat down at times, and I've listened to her brother Todd. Tears run down her face, and she said, "Daddy, you just don't understand." And I'd say, "No, honey, I don't understand. But I'm trying. Me and your mommy's here for you." And I can just see the devil trying his best to get his hands on them. And I'm doing everything I can to help her. I'm doing everything I can to help your children and to tell them we don't have to stand for this junk that's on TV. We don't have to stand for these laws that they're passing. You need to tell your children same-sex marriage is wrong. You need to teach them that abortion's wrong. You need to teach them that they need to love God. Keep them in love with Jesus. And it'll help keep them away from this mess. Show them. Talk to them. Oh, we shouldn't talk about that in church. Well, if we don't teach them, the devil's going to. If I don't preach to them, who's going to tell them? This stuff is real. When this young lady came to me broken, she said, "Please don't tell my mommy and daddy." She'd pull her arm back there. I could see the scars. But she'd taken a knife and cut herself. And I said, "Why? Why would you do that?" And she said, "It's the only place I can get relief from all that I'm going through." I'm talking about massive arteries that if she cut it too deep, there'd be no stopping the blood. Listen, young people, there's a way out of the mess. There's a man that's put both of his hands out. And they let him nail him to a cross to take the cutting pains, to take the bullying pains, to take all the suffering that you're going through in schoolhouses and being bullied by other kids. He took it right there on the cross of Calvary. And he can help you if you'll trust him. He can help you this morning. I was going to go a complete different way this morning. God has broke my heart when I saw all them young people last night and the man of God preaching his heart out. Many of them just sit there with a hollow stare. You could tell their lives were such a mess. They didn't know what to do. Others were responding. God was saving. God was moving. But they're going to be those that think they have went so far that God don't love them no more. Young people, God loves you this morning. You may feel like that maybe mommy don't love you, or daddy might not love you, or mama and papa don't love you, but there's one, his name's Jesus, that loves you this morning. And he died for you. Just as he died for all of us, he died for you guys. That you wouldn't have to go through this. Someday, as John said, "I saw that holy city, New Jerusalem." You may say, "Well, that's for old folks. That's for older people. I'm young. I got my life ahead of me." That's for all of this. It's for you. John wrote that to tell you young people, there's a better day coming. I'm sorry for what you got to go through for school. But I'll tell you what, you got a church that loves you and that's here for you. You got a pastor you can call anytime and we'll talk and you can tell me anything and we'll get down to business and get things taken care of this morning. Don't allow the devil to steal your joy and to rob your life. I don't want to hear of another 9-year-old stripped out of this life because of sin. They just can't take it no more. Mom and daddy finds out, they'll kill me, so I'm just going to kill myself. Listen, young people, that is not the answer. That is. Can I hear from you, church? Amen. That is not the answer this morning. People will help you this morning. And I know God's put this upon my heart this morning for you, to let you know, whatever age you are, we love you this morning. I would hope that you would love my daughter so I could love your children. We can work together and keep them as safe as we can keep them. Don't sit in the living room when the TV comes on and the movies come on and they curse the Lord's name in vain and they show the nudity on the TV. Take the time, take control as a man of God of your home and turn that mess off and turn the TV. Watch something else. Do something else. We have got desensitized. We can hear the Lord's name blaspheme and we don't think nothing about it. I'm not against TV. There's good things on TV. But the Bible says to mortify the members of the body. That means to bring into subjection. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about your mind. And you need to bring into subjection what you're seeing and what you're hearing and what you're doing. And let God make your home holy. If we feed our children the devil's vomit, what else can we expect but to have our children in rehabs, have our children dilly-dallying in this kind of sin that I'm talking about, strung out on drugs, strung out on alcohol? I've told my daughter, I said, honey, there's nothing you'll ever do that me and your mother won't still love you. But we would hope you wouldn't do it. But if you ever find yourself trapped, you're always welcome home. There, we'll always love you. We'll always care for you, no matter what happens. Sister Frieda, I can't make her live for God. All I can do is show her the way. God has given you a gift. You work with children every day. And he's given you a precious moment of time to deal with each child. You've got a ministry there that I don't have, but God can use you there. And God can help you there. All you guys, you Sunday school teachers, we have placed these children in your all's hands. You can teach these children for a few moments of time on Sunday morning about the goodness of God. Take advantage of that. Get involved in their life. Find out what's going on. Ask them what kind of week they have. Find out what they like and help them. Amen. They need our help. They don't need us to act like a bunch of adults. They say that all day long. We was there last night. God was moving. And I was glad to see Brother Luke and Sister Jennifer there with the crowd. We's doing the wave. The wave. Brother CT's leading everybody. And we's waving. Them children are having a ball. Get out of your comfort zone sometimes. Get out and play with your children. Go places they want to go. Do things they want to do. Why? We're headed to a better place where there ain't going to be no more of this sin that we have to deal with. I always want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God when he's leading in a message like this. This morning I want to do something different. I want all of my children of this church, every single one of you, I want you to come up here and stand around me this morning. Every one of you. I want every child in this church from 18 years old down. I want every one of you. 18 years old down. Come to this side and come to this side. All these children, every one of you. Now you tell me, if your backwardness, your stiff-neckedness, your hard-headedness, and doing it your way is worth rejecting these children. I said, is it worth rejecting these children? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And that's what God wants us to do, is to bring these children around and love on them and care for them and tell them that we do care for them. We are concerned what's going on in their life. These right here, one of these may be the next pastor of Vickers Chapel. I'm telling you this morning, this could be one of them. And God could use them in a mighty way. But it ain't going to happen if you keep acting the way you're acting. You got to show them love and that you're concerned about what's going on. I love each and every single one of these children. Every one of them. I love all these children. And they're all different. They all do different things. And they all got different attitudes, but I love every one of them. And we have a job, church, as to love these kids and to get involved in every single one of their lives. Brother Todd has blessed us with getting a youth choir started. He's been working with them. They've been singing and doing such a wonderful job. You need to have your children in youth choir. You need to have them in Sunday school. You need to have them at the youth events. Everything we're trying to do to help these children, do everything you can to push your life aside and say, I'm going to do that for my children. So God can be number one in their life. Am I just preaching to myself this morning? But I think they're worth it. I think they're worth it this morning. And I want my leadership team, all these deacons and these preachers, I want you to come up here this morning. And all you kids, will y'all come right here in front of me, together in a circle, just pile up right here in the middle. Y'all know how to do that. Just come up close. And men, I want you to get all the way around these children here today. All the way around. Come right around. Guys, move up just a little bit. Just a little bit there forward. Go towards Brother Earl there just a little bit. Come on around, man. Get up here, Brother Terry. Brother Randy, get up here. Brother Verby, Brother James, come up here. And Matt. All right. The church, I want to show you something. This is what God's put us in charge of. Amen. His children. And he's give you this leadership team. We're going to watch over these children. And by watching over these children means we're watching over you. We're watching over the families of this church. Why? Because they mean something to us. Amen. I don't want to see one of these children die and go to hell. I want to walk the streets of gold and see every single one of these precious children there with us, don't you? Amen. So won't you stand to your feet this morning? I want all these deacons and preachers to join hands. And you stretch your hands out this morning, church, towards these children. And let us pray together, all right? Amen. Let's plead the blood over them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as I lay my hands on these children, God, I ask you to bind all the powers of hell that could come against them in any way. Lord, they go through so much at school and several of them been bullied, Lord, and put down and even put out on a lot of different things. But God, I pray that your spirit, Lord, would move upon them and give them the holy boldness, Lord, to stand for you. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll have perfect reign in these children's lives. Lord, maybe one of them will be a Sunday school teacher. One of them will be a preacher. Others will be singers. Others will be leaders, Lord, in the church. God, this is our church of today, not tomorrow. Lord, help us to train them, teach them, love them, and show them the way. God, how we love you. Lord, would you see our hearts as a church, Lord, to honor you. Move upon these children, Lord, as only you can. Help us show them the way. For we'll love you for it all and what you're doing there in their lives. Bless their families, their mothers, their daddies, their grandpas, grandmas, the ones that don't have a mommy and daddy. I pray that you'll help every one of them, God, and move up on them, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. For we believe it, we confess it, and we receive it today, Lord, that you're going to keep them all safe. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Praise the Lord.